Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right. We're going to be Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. We've been working our way through the Gospel of Matthew, and so we are at this place on verse 33, looking at Matters of the Heart, part 2. And if you're out there on Facebook Live, we welcome you this morning, and we do understand that we did get a pretty good winter blast last night, so it was wise for many of you to stay home. So, Matters of the Heart, part 2. We've looked at the Beatitudes in this chapter, and then we looked at being salt and light. And then last week we looked at six commandments that Jesus addressed that were core teachings or core commands of the Jewish faith during biblical times, during Jesus' time. And so we looked at murder. We addressed that. That Jesus says, hey, you know, you've heard it said not to murder, but I'm telling you, hey, do not have that anger in your heart that would cause you to murder somebody. To deal with that anger, to have wrong feelings in our heart is wrong. And then we talked about adultery, that it's more than just adultery, it's the lust in our hearts. And then we looked at divorce, that just God's plan for marriage, and that divorce wasn't, during Jesus' time, they thought they could write just this blank ticket that if, hey, she burned the eggs that morning or the pancakes, you know, you could write her a certificate of divorce and divorce her. And Jesus says, you know what? Moses allowed divorce because hardness of your hearts, but that was never God's plan. God's plan is that what God has joined together, two people should never be separated. So, we covered those first three. Today we're going to cover the next three on oaths, an eye for an eye, and love your enemies. And so Jesus is teaching all this from the Mount of Olives, and this section is called the Sermon on the Mount. It goes through chapters 5, 6, and 7. So we're going to begin in verse 33. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our lives this morning. Take your word and make it come alive to us. We ask it in your name. Amen. So let's look at this together, starting in verse 33. Jesus says, again, you've heard it said to people long ago, do not break an oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, oaths had everything to do with people trying to verify that what they were saying is true. Now, when I was a kid, people would sometimes say, cross my heart, hope to die, you know. In other words, they were trying to come up with this phrase or the saying to make what they were saying was true. You know, they're telling people something, and I say, you know, I promise it's true. I cross my heart. Or Amy said something about, I'll stick a needle in my eye. Ooh, that one hurts, you know. But that's what they were doing during biblical times, that they were actually saying, oh, I swear by Jerusalem, or I swear by God's temple. And what it was doing was all these words, and in the midst of all these words, they were losing the truth. All right? Now, in our court system, if you were to be a witness, right, in the court of law, you have to put your hand upon the Bible, right, and you're going to say, I promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? And a lot of people just recently have been in trouble because they get on the stand and they don't tell the truth, and then it comes back, the rest of the truth comes out, and then they get in trouble, not because they've done evil things or wrong things necessarily, but because they broke their oath. And I don't think what Jesus is saying is not to take an oath when you're in court. Rather, it has to do with when we are relating with people and talking to people, that our yes should be yes and our no should be no. All right? So the first principle that we see here is concerning oath is that we are simply to speak what is honest and true. We are to speak simply what is honest and true. So if you are talking to somebody and you don't have to promise by or swear by something saying, hey, this is going to be true, simply let your words be honest and true. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, and whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Another person would say that many words will not compensate for poor character. The more words a person uses, the leerier we should be. You ever had that the case? That when they're telling the truth or they're speaking to you, that if there's a lot of words, there's a lot of activity, that many times they're really not telling you the truth. They're not really being honest with you. And that's what Jesus was getting at, is that he wants people to be honest and to be true. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Simply say what is on your heart. Simply say what is the truth. And as believers in Christ, our conversations with others should always be graced with honest and truth. People shouldn't have to question. Now, there's times that things happen, and it's kind of like, really? Did that really happen? You know, and we can swear by it. So, like with Aaron, you know, we told him he gets to Lincoln early because he was going to this performance at the Lead Center last night to see Tim Allen. And so we said, well, with the weather, we would really feel comfortable if you got a motel. So he gets a motel, and he's kind of just relaxing before the event, and he goes, I think Tim Allen's in the room next to me, you know, because he had an adjoining room, and what are the chances of that, you know? I say, well, maybe, you know, if it is, maybe you'll run into him. So anyway, he hears the guy person leave, so he goes, I'll go down to the lobby and hang out. So he goes down there, and sure enough, so he gets in the elevator with Tim Allen, and they ride the elevator down, and they're in the lobby, and they take a selfie together, and they talk, and said he was going to the program. You know, so you could say that, and people are saying, no way, that didn't happen, you know. So, you know, there are times and situations where things happen where you may want to say, yeah, you know, you swear by this. You know, I'm telling the truth. But our conversation should be such that when we speak the truth to people, that people know that we are speaking the truth. Amen? Second point, verses 38 through 42. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is where with kids, and if you have kids in school. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. If someone wants to sue you, let him take your tunic. Let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one that wants to borrow from you. Now, this is a strange one, and this is where God is calling us to live to a higher standard than the rest of the world. He wants us to be, as Christians, to be different from the rest of the world. So what it was getting at is that this was a command, that if somebody gouged out your eye, you know, that could be done to the other person. Now, the reason for that law is because it was fair. Often when you retaliate, do you retaliate in a fashion that is less than the crime or greater than the crime? Usually greater, right? Because the passion is involved. They did this, and so, man, you're really going to get even. And often a lot of murders, as we talked about last week, take place because somebody else did something. The emotions get involved, and retaliation usually is greater than the initial crime. And so this law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, was actually not a bad thing. It was actually a fair way. But Jesus said, he wanted us to live to an even higher standard. And why is that? According to the law, they could pay that person back. So if they broke your arm, you could really break their arm, right? But would that make the situation worse or better? Would make it worse, right? So when you retaliate, that doesn't help the situation out? It usually doesn't, does it? It doesn't make things better. So Jesus is calling his followers to take the high road. Even when you've been offended and hurt, our response should not be retaliation, but it should be reconciliation. And so when it talks about it turning the cheek, it really didn't mean like a punch, okay, or an open hand slap. It really meant a backhand, which was more of an insult. And I think maybe sometimes that's still used in our culture today, that if you backhand somebody, it's seen more as an insult than it is more to cause injury. But what I think Jesus was really getting at is, if somebody insults you, if somebody does you wrong, our first response shouldn't be retaliation. It is should be to try and take the higher road. And I just think about that, and I think about in the school situation that often kids get into disagreements in school, right? And the school policy is if you retaliate, you're just as guilty as the person that made the initial thing. And they have to have that policy, right? But as a parent, you want your kid to stand up for themselves, right? You know, you don't want them to be pushed around. You want them, so it's a fine line there. I think there's even a fine line between self-defense. I don't think we're talking about self-defense here if your life is in danger. Rather, I think this has to do more with insults. If somebody's insulting you and doing you harm. But having said that, I want to look at the life of Jesus. And this may be a little bit on the extreme side, but Easter is coming, right? It's not that far away. And leading up to the crucifixion, Jesus would be betrayed by one of his disciples, right? Judas. Just think about this. At his trial, several would come forward and falsely accuse him. Okay, that wasn't very far. What did Jesus do during this? He spoke not a word. Very good. Before Pilate, he was given over to the Jews to be flogged, crown of thorns, while Barabbas, a known thief and a criminal, was what? He was given a get-out-of-jail-free pass, wasn't he? Think about that. Jesus could have really retaliated. He could have been furious. Instead, he went silent as a sheep going before his shears. On Golgotha, the soldiers mocked him. He's in a weakened state the way it was anyway. And yet they mocked him. They gambled for his clothes. They gave him a bitter drink to drink. They placed the crown of thorns on his head. They put a sign above his head on the cross that said, King of the Jews. They did it in a way that was mocking him. They insulted him. They hurled all these things at him. And yet Jesus would say on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. Forgive them for they know not what they do. And Jesus would even, the one thief on the cross, he would even help him make it into paradise. Jesus, it said, could have called 10,000 angels. Matthew 26, 52 through 54. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is being betrayed by Judas. The soldiers come. And Peter takes out his sword, right, to defend him. And he's not a very good aim. That's so he takes off the guy's ear instead of taking off his head, right? Takes off the guy's ear. Jesus reaches down, picks it up, puts it back on. That's cool, isn't it? But verse 52 says, put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. But do not think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? And the point that I think that Jesus was trying to get across here is that we should show restraint and not retaliate. We fulfill the law when we show restraint and don't retaliate. Restraint requires strength. And I think that's what God is calling us to, is an inner strength. He's not calling us to be weak. He's calling us to have that inner strength that is willing to take some insult at times and to take the higher road. Not because we're a wimp, but because we have an inner strength. We know who we are in Christ. We know that the words that people say often aren't true. And so we take the high road so that hopefully Christ can be seen in our life. I believe that God calls his followers to lead with peace, to demonstrate self-control when possible, to lead with reconciliation and his goodness. Amen? And so the main point there is show restraint and don't retaliate. That's a hard one. There's times that I've done well on that, and there's times that I probably didn't do so well, right? And you grow and you mature. But I think that is what God was calling us to do, to demonstrate that in our life. There's a third one that I want us to catch then. Love for our enemies. This is where Jesus really pushes us, doesn't he? He says, verse 43, you've heard it said, love your enemy and hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, love your neighbor was one of the commandments, okay? Hate your enemy is found nowhere within Scripture, okay? But I believe it was something that they cherished in their hearts. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? You're not any different from the rest of the world if you love people that love you, all right? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, are you not doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the Scriptures do call us to love our neighbors. But nowhere did it say not to love their enemies. But you know what? Even the Jewish people, they were God's people right at that moment in time. They had their enemies, and they had hatred in their heart. You say, how is that? Well, just on one of Jesus' trips, he was going from Jerusalem in the south to Galilee in the north. And instead of going from point A to point E, just that straight shot, it's just a straight shot, north, going north. They would go, most of the Jews would go this, right? Why? What were they trying to avoid? A mountain? No. People, what kind of people? They were a certain type of people, right? They were half-breeds, half-Jewish, half-Gentile, the Samaritans. And so in John chapter 4, Jesus goes through Sychar. He meets the woman at the well. And so there was hatred in the Jewish heart for people that were not like them. And even though they may not, it wasn't a written code, it was something that was unwritten within their hearts that they held that they didn't associate with those types of people because they weren't pure Jewish blood. All right? And Jesus broke that paradigm by going through Sychar and meeting with this woman at the well. And many of those people came to know Christ that day, it says. You know what? And that was the issue in Jesus' time. But in our culture, we wrestle over the color of one's skin, the political party one holds. We even wrestle over spiritual beliefs, whether it's Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Jesus was not calling believers just to love other believers. He's calling us to even love people outside of Christ that do not know Christ, even people that maybe would hurl insults at us. Maybe not even love us, right? He says, love your enemies. And that's where Jesus really stretches us. And I wonder what people thought when he spoke that. Did they I don't know. I was with Jesus for a while now. I think I'm just going to fall away from this discussion. But what Jesus was calling people to do is to love people with a perfect love. Notice that he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does that mean to be perfect? Now, when we think of perfect, if you get a perfect grade, that means you get 100%, right? 10 out of 10, 20 out of 20, 25 out of 25, you get 100% on your test, right? And maybe even get some extra credit. That's not what Jesus is talking about there. That word for perfect is perfection or maturity or completeness. So maturity or completeness would probably be better words that we can get a better understanding for us. In other words, Jesus isn't saying, hey, you're never going to make a mistake. What he is saying is, I want you to grow in your love so that it resembles my type of love that is complete, that is mature, right? That isn't in infancy stage, but it has some maturity, that is able to overlook people's issues and problems, downfalls, imperfections. That is the type of love that I have, the love that he has for us, that even in our sinful state, Christ died for us and that he loved us. Amen? That is the type of love that God wants us to replicate in our lives, to love people with a perfect love. This type of love will draw people to Christ. And I believe our world is looking for that in Christians especially. You know what? And I think the world calls us to a higher standard. They're not expecting, you know, the criminal down the street or whatever to demonstrate love. But if you bear the name Christian, they are expecting a lot out of you. Am I right? And before you even say a word, they're looking at your life more meticulously than they would anybody else because you claim to be a Christian. And they're looking at your life. And we have to have a love that transcends what this world sees as a norm. God calls us to a higher standard and to love in a love that is perfect, that is mature, that it is complete. It may not always be flawless, but it should. We should all be on a journey to making sure that that love is mature and complete. Amen? Simply speak what is honest and true. Show restraint and don't retaliate. Love people with a perfect love. Amen? Amen. We're going to say goodbye to our Facebook Live people. Have a great day. Join us online. And if you want to catch the rest of the message. So I'm going to have our musicians come forward here this morning. And I just want us to close with a time of reflection to really let God speak to us this morning. If you were to do an assessment on your own life on a scale of 1 to 10 on each of these, we can just look at this past week. Has what I have spoken, has it been honest and true? When I've had conversations with people, have I spoken the truth with honesty? Have I shown restraint and not retaliated? I don't know, did you or didn't you? How did you do this week? Have you loved people with a perfect love? Or has it been a little more conditional? I love this person because they like me back. I love this person because they're nice to me. They're kind. But what about that person that just kind of pushes me over the edge or just irritates me, gets underneath my skin? We use that one, right? What about that person? Can we still love in that situation? It doesn't mean you have to be best buds with that person. I don't think that's what God is calling us to. But he does expect us to still show a mature, a perfect love to the people around us. He wants us to show perfect love like he showed us. I want us to close with that course. I want to close with that course, reckless love. God took a chance on us, didn't he? Took a chance on us. And I believe there's people in our world that if we can love them as Christ loved us, maybe they can see Christ in us and come to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen. Praise God. Father, this morning we just thank you that we could gather together. We thank you for your word that it is able to penetrate our hearts. And Lord, I don't think there's any of us here that are totally perfect. And Lord God, you stretch us and you shape us, you mold us by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I just pray for each of us here today that you would stretch us so that we can resemble you, shaped in your likeness, in your mold. Not the pattern of this world, but in your likeness, dear God. And Lord God, as we grow, as we mature, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your grace that you show us each and every day. It's new each and every day, Lord. And Lord, we need all the grace and mercy we can get so that we can become like you and to be transformed. Lord God, we give you the thanks and praise this day and we ask in your precious name. Amen. Praise God. And they're going to lead us in that course. Just worship the Lord this morning. Let his word sink into your heart. Father, we just thank you for your reckless love that has taken a chance on us, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, God. And Lord, you're not calling us to something that you haven't done yourself. You demonstrated what it meant to not retaliate. You demonstrated what it was to love your enemies. You demonstrated what it meant to be sacrificial and to show perfect love. And Lord, so you're calling us to be like you is the bottom line. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us. Let us be transformed. Let us be changed. This isn't anything that we can do on our own, but it has to be a work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives. We give you the thanks this day. Be with us. Keep us safe, dear God. Let us be salt and light this week, Lord. And through our lives, may people come to know you as the Lord. Savior. We give you the thanks. We ask in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. thanks for busting a few drifts to be here today. And greet each other as you leave. And don't be in a rush. Just kind of hang out if you can. God bless you this morning.